Hello and welcome once again to The Blueprint. It is Canada's conservative podcast. Thank you once again for joining us. We are a bit late getting content on, but we do have new content every single Tuesday, 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. So because of that, we do need your help. We do need you to maybe like, comment, subscribe, share this program. Help us push back against the ever-moving liberal agenda. And that way, there might be someone in your social network that might be open to hearing or listening to the conservative message. And this is a perfect opportunity to do that. But of course, if you cannot watch it all now on Facebook, you can download it later on platforms like CastBox, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, you name it. It is out there. So again, we have another wonderful show for you again this week. We have Michael Barrett. He's the Member of Parliament for Leeds, Grenville, Thousand Island, and Rideau Lakes. He's also the Shadow Minister for Ethics. And we bring him in today because, of course, the We Charity is back in the headlines. And to talk more about it, here's Michael Barrett.
Jamie, how are you?
I am wonderful. Now that you're here, because we have a lot to talk about. Of course, we, the Kielberger brothers, were back before the Ethics Committee. They're talking about their now canceled deal to run a federal program for student volunteers, and you had them on the hot seat.
Yeah, so of course, the WE scandal is Justin Trudeau's his failed student service program from last year at the peak of the pandemic. He and his government inked a $500 million deal with the WE organization, which, of course, we learned had paid members of the Trudeau family $500,000 in fees, expenses, and benefits. And so, we started on this path last summer, last July. And then once we got into August and things started heating up for the prime minister and for his government, he prorogued parliament. And so when Parliament resumed, we started the process in some cases from the beginning, and we had to restart the studies. And it was over 42 hours of filibustering by the Liberals at the Ethics Committee before we were able to actually issue a call for witnesses, including Mark and Craig Kielberger. Now, when we did first invite them, it was by that time December. And so some people are wondering, well, why is this back in the news? Well, because the Liberals filibustered for the equivalent of 20 meetings just at the Ethics Committee alone. And so we had them agree to appear. And days before their scheduled appearance, they said, you know what? We're not coming to your committee. And even if you issued a summons for us, we wouldn't show up. Now, Jamie, you and I know that a summons issued by a parliamentary committee is a legal summons, and folks have to appear when a summons is issued. It's also exceedingly rare. Most people, and interestingly, you wouldn't expect that the exception to the rule would be folks from a children's charity would require that they be legally compelled to attend a parliamentary committee. But we did issue that summons, and contrary to the letter from their lawyers the week before, Mark and Craig Kielberger did come to committee.
Okay, now the controversy now is you'd like a few more witnesses to come forward, those being some of the Prime Minister's inner circle.
Well, that's right. And at the committee, any of your followers who watched those proceedings saw some very interesting exchanges, and one by our colleague, Pierre Poilievre, who of course does an outstanding job in the House, but also at committee. Now, most folks don't usually watch committee proceedings, even when we have witnesses appear, but I think that the clips of Pierre asking questions of the Kielbergers, particularly about a specific back and forth between one of the Prime Minister's advisors, his name is Ben Chin, and the Kielbergers. Now, of course, they said, well, no, it was just a LinkedIn message. It was an invite. But really, in the message from the Kielbergers to Mr. Chin, they specifically mentioned that he helped shape the program, and that the Canada Student Service Grant program. And that's really important because we were told in the summer during the hearings at the Finance Committee that this program was not made by political staff or created by political staff. It was made by the public service. Now, we've heard all kinds of testimony and seen dates, meeting dates that don't support this claim. And in fact, it looks like there was a pretty heavy lobbying effort by the WE organization in the days before this program was suddenly imagined. And so so Ben Chin, Rick Tice, Amit Paul Singh, These are all either senior political staff in the finance minister's office, in Mr. Singh's case, and in the other two, Mr. Chin and Mr. Tice are senior PMO officials. And so that's why we're looking to have them come. But now, I know you're already sitting down, so I hope all of your followers are sitting down when they hear this. So we introduced the motion for these gentlemen to come testify at committee. And of course, if they've got nothing to hide, they've got nothing to fear before coming before a parliamentary committee. And you would never guess what happened, Jamie, when we moved our motion. The Liberals started a filibuster. So
I did not see that coming. You're shocking me with this information.
So that's kind of where we're at today. And we signaled in advance late last week, Pierre Polyev and I, we did let folks know that we would be asking for this to happen. And the other opposition parties agree that we do need to hear this testimony. Look, it's time to bring this to a close. The committee does want to report to Parliament. So we want to hear from the rest of the witnesses. There is the outstanding report from the ethics commissioner with respect to Prime Minister Trudeau and to his former finance minister Bill Morneau, and we have to hear what that report has to say, and we'll see where we're at then. But in the meantime, the committee needs to do its work, and now the Liberals are saying that we've wasted so much time and now we need to move on to new things. Well, just a minute, they burned 40 hours of committee time, 20 meetings worth of time, just ragging the puck so they wouldn't have to have tough conversations. Well, we're back into that mode again. So we're going to put our elbows up and see if we can't hear from these witnesses, because we're talking about $500 million of taxpayer money here, Jamie, and Canadians have a right to know how this all came to be.
And that's pretty serious, too, if the inner circle of the Prime Minister's office is supposedly, and according to this LinkedIn message, crafting a program based around the end result of allowing the We Charity to administer this program during a pandemic where the public service has been able to roll out a whole slew of programs based on everything that has been going on. But yet these individuals, from what we've seen in committee and the information I've seen, they aren't lobbied. They aren't registered as a lobbyist. They've been doing things behind the scenes. And also the fact that the Trudeau family has received a lot of money from this We Charity organization.
Well, that's right. You know, the very early on, we heard from the Prime Minister and the now former finance minister, Bill Morneau was fired by Justin Trudeau, just to dispel any illusions there. He was thrown under the bus. And this is because the Prime Minister and the Finance Minister got right into the decision-making process here and later said, well, we failed to recuse ourselves. We're sorry. But, you know, this was very clearly from the beginning a pitch that was perhaps reverse engineered, where before the government was looking for someone to administer it, the concept was introduced by the people who were ultimately given this agreement. And I don't want to say awarded the agreement, as in there was some kind of procurement process. They didn't ask anybody else. And so we have this group who made their presentation there. You know, they did their slide deck of their PowerPoint presentation, and that went to cabinet. And in that presentation, you have pictures of the Prime Minister's family. And so if you're looking to to a group of decision makers to approve your proposal, and your boss is sitting at the end of the table, and in the proposal are pictures of his family members. Well, gee, well, now we know where he stands on it. Well, I wonder what my boss is going to want me to do. This group is employing members of their boss's family. So, and he's in the room while they're making the decision. And when they, call the vote or have the conversation, his hand is up, is saying, yep, no, we need to do this. The same is true for the finance minister, who had members of his immediate family who were employed by the WE organization at the time. And look, you know, our family members, when you're a politician, they're going to do all kinds of things. And whether it's for, you know, a not-for-profit or a for-profit organization, that is what it is. But the public office holder has a duty. They have an obligation, a legal obligation, to recuse themselves, to put distance between them and this decision-making process. And not only is it clear that that didn't happen, there's serious questions about, as you said, the lobbying that happened in the lead up to this, when there were no registered interactions until we shone the spotlight on this. We pulled the curtains open, the sunlight hit it, and it looked like, oh my goodness, there's been dozens and dozens of lobbying contacts that were not registered. And all of a sudden, the lobbying registry explodes with retroactive declarations or disclosures of lobbying. Like, my goodness, it's pretty shocking stuff.
So is that what you'd say I've seen the comments, and I'm sure you have on some social media, basically it's water under the bridge. It's already happened. Now you're seeing the lobby registry come up to date. You're seeing the finance minister, he's been fired. So it's all been dealt with. This is old news. It's just the conservatives being meddlesome. There are still people saying that. You see the talking heads on the media saying that too, and in some cases. What do you say to that? What is the response as you and the team continues to push forward on this?
Well, look, we were happy to pursue these inquiries last August, and the Prime Minister made the decision to shut down Parliament for no reason other than to stop hard questions. And at the time, he said, when Parliament resumes, there'll be lots of time for questions. And then Parliament resumed, and they filibustered committees. And they filibustered them, not just for a couple of meetings, but like I said, for the equivalent of 20 meetings. And their partners, the organizations that they entrusted with a $500 million agreement, wouldn't even present the heads of those organizations to come to committee. But look, if you're going to partner with an organization, if the brand Canada is going to be associated with a group, and the head of that group ducks invitations to appear at a parliamentary committee for all of December, all of January, all of February, and then moves the date of the meeting a couple of times, and then on the eve of the meeting says, not only are we not coming to your committee, if you issue a summons, we're still not going to come. You know, these are not the type of characters that you would expect the government of Canada to be partnering with on a program like that. And what's more is that we've been looking for information, and the government has failed to provide answers to us. They've done that with illegally redacted documents that they gave to the Finance Committee. And we haven't been given straight answers by the people who have come to testify. You know, at the Finance Committee in the summer, I asked Minister Chagger a very straightforward question about whether she had had conversations about the grant program with the WE organization. And she said, no, she hadn't. Well, later we learned that in fact she had. And what was her response? Oh, well, the grant program hadn't been named at that point in time. So, well, I talked to them. I just didn't talk to them about what you asked. So they're looking to find every possible way to not answer the questions. It's not forthright. It's frankly, it's dishonest. And we need to get answers. It's $500 million. And it also speaks to a system where this can happen. And the government didn't do any due diligence. We've heard all kinds of allegations and stories in the media about the conduct of this company, people making very serious claims and allegations about double matching donations, for example, and donors having been misled and charitable groups having misled. And those allegations are serious. So did this not present itself when the government did its due diligence? Or is the fact that the government failed to do its due diligence? The other thing we asked for this week, Jamie, at committee, was when we had the clerk of the Privy Council testify at the Ethics Committee, one of my colleagues asked for the report, said, well, you did due diligence. And they said, yep. And said, well, you can provide us with a report of that. And they said, of course. Well, that was many, many months ago, and we're yet to see that report. So we asked for that. And that the liberals think, well, hey, look, let's filibuster. We can't let them see what's not in the report, because I think that if the government did in fact do their due diligence, they would have found these things. And so I think the fact of the matter is they failed to exercise reasonable steps to make sure that they were partnering with an organization that they should have been when, you know, when Canadians were worried about their lives and their livelihood. Justin Trudeau and his government were worried about looking out for their buddies.
So what changed? How did you get the Kielberger brothers there?
Well, I think that once you're in a situation after the summons has been issued, you have a big public relations problem, and that's what they were facing. In advance of that, I don't think that they believed that we would issue a summons for them, but hey, these gentlemen have both received the Order of Canada. They've both been welcomed into schools and communities across our country. And they've done that saying that they had something to teach. And they were to teach the communities and to teach the school children. And I think what they were looking at, the choice they had to make, is if they wanted to teach people that you don't need to follow the laws of this country. And the law required that they do appear. And I think that was the choice that they were faced with when it came down, when the rubber hit the road, they were legally obligated to appear. And so it was disappointing that it had to come to that point. But I think that, frankly, they owe it to Canadians to provide the answers that we're looking for. And I would encourage anyone who's interested to take a look at that testimony, not the video that they re-recorded. And this is wild. The witnesses, Mark and Craig Kielberger, re-recorded a video. They staged a video of their appearance at committee. So they recorded a fake appearance, and then they put that on social media. Because I think that if your viewers are interested, go and take a look at their actual appearance at committee. They were asked to provide written remarks in advance for translation, which one of them read. They read off a teleprompter. So they had the written remarks, did not provide them to the interpreter. So simultaneous translation couldn't happen. They were asked to wear headsets for the translators so that translation could happen, refused. And they said on camera, we refuse. And they did not present themselves as people who were looking to collaborate. And it was really interesting. I think it speaks volumes about everyone involved. And so, you know, for my part, I'm quite proud to have been part of the effort to bring answers to Canadians to get to the truth. And I think that people who are looking to frustrate that work need to take a long look in the mirror before they appear at any of the schools or in communities across Canada.
Okay, we need to get out of here. We have question period coming up. So, Michael Barrett, in like 30 seconds or less, your closing comment.
Well, I think, Jamie, that as we've moved through this pandemic, we've seen the government spend, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars, and they need to be accountable to Canadians for all that they spend. So we're going to keep looking for answers. We are going to keep asking the hard questions. And, you know, when a summons needs to be issued, or when late hours need to be put in during a filibuster, we're going to put in the time, because Canadians are worth it. They're worth the truth. And I hope that everyone keeps watching for updates right here, because this is where you're going to get the straight information on what's going on in Parliament.
Michael Barrett, to you and your team on the Ethics Committee, keep up the great work, and you're doing a great job as the Member of Parliament for Leeds, Grenville, Thousand Islands, and Rideau Lakes, also the Shadow Minister for Ethics. Thank you once again for coming on the show. We'll have you back again as this story develops, and we do appreciate your time. As mentioned, question period is coming up very shortly, so stick around for that. New content on The Blueprint comes every single Tuesday, 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Please watch it. Or if you can't listen to it later on, you can download it on platforms like CastBox, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, you name it. It is out there. Together, we can push back against the ever-moving liberal agenda. And of course, remember, low taxes, less government, more freedom. That is The Blueprint.